presidential initiatives for reforming government in some ways resemble hot sauces. They come in a variety of bottles with exotic names, but what's inside them have a lot in common. So what's with the new Office of American Innovation, the reform plan of the Trump administration? For one view, we turn to Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President at ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. And Jeff, I think you and I have both lived through a lot of presidential transitions. I go back to George H.W. Bush leading into Clinton. What do you make of this latest gambit?
Hi, Tom. I think this one is an interesting one. It has the potential to work, and it has the potential to not work. You know, one of the things I've read about it is a lot of people keep focusing on the let's make government operate like a business aspect of it. And I think if it does that, it probably is not going to succeed because government is not a business. You know, there are business-like things that government can do. It can innovate. It can train its employers. It can do employees. It can do a lot of things like that.
It can get rid of improper payments.
It could do that. But government isn't a business. It doesn't have the same kinds of motivators and drivers as a business. You know, if you're running a business, one of the things you want to do is make a profit. The government doesn't make a profit. If you're running a business, you want to grow. I think most of us don't want government to grow. So there are a lot of things like that that make government not a business. However, you know, what the president called this was the Office of American Innovation. And I believe if the office focuses on innovation and not on trying to make government operate like a business, it actually has the potential to be successful.
Well, I have to say, though, that in his remarks to the press after that executive order came out on the new office, Sean Spicer, the press secretary, did acknowledge, we know this is not a business and there are things that government does that no business does. So maybe there's optimism that they get that fact.
I think so. I think that's the reason they called it the Office of American Innovation and wanted to focus on innovation. But, you know, it's really difficult when you start talking about government reform and you put business people in charge of it. It's hard to get them sometimes to not think, well, we're just going to make government operate like a business. And so that's where I think the problems come out. And, you know, we've had some examples of this before. I go back even farther than you. I go back to the Reagan administration. And I think I go back to the Carter administration. I'm even older. But, you know, some of these things have been done before, and some have worked and some haven't. You know, President Reagan had the famous Grace Commission. And the Grace Commission made 2,478 recommendations that claimed were going to save $424 billion, which is a massive number of recommendations and a massive amount of savings, and nothing came out of it. The Congressional Budget Office and the Government Accounting Office looked at it and concluded that the savings just weren't there. And in the end, Congress didn't do anything with the recommendations.
Yeah, so you can almost go too big as easily as you can go too small.
We have 2 million federal employees. We have you know, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of budget. We have thousands of programs. You can't say, well, I'm just going to fix it all. It's too big. It's too complex. And if you say you're going to fix it all, in the end, you don't fix anything. President Clinton had a bit better luck with the National Performance Review. If you recall, NPR actually was looking at individual programs. They were looking at support services. They were doing a lot of things to make it a more manageable, more logical process. And I think that one was a better example of where some success could come out of this type of initiative.
We're speaking with Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President for ICF International. And what about the people surrounding Jared Kushner? As you mentioned, they want to talk to, you know, here we go again, Silicon Valley types, who I'm not sure have all that much insight into how the government operates or how it could work better. But who else should Jared Kushner bring in, do you think, besides, I don't know, the head of Apple or something?
Well, I think that bringing in different people from industry is a good idea. Obviously, a lot of people look at Silicon Valley and they say, wow, this is, you know, we should do everything that way. You know, that's a unique environment that's not even like most of the rest of American business. So Silicon Valley can give you some ideas of how tech businesses can run, but not necessarily tell you everything you need to know about how to operate the United States government. I would encourage the president to look at service businesses, because so much of what the government does is services. I'd bring in people from those businesses, and then I would bring in federal employees and federal managers, because these people do know how their agencies operate. You know, if you dig into the typical agency and talk to some of the rank and file employees, they can tell you a lot of the problems with their agency, and they can tell you some of the solutions. It's just that a lot of times people don't listen to them. So I think they need to make certain that they get people from in government, and then probably get some people who have been in government and in industry and have seen how both operate and can give them a different perspective having been in both. I think that would be really helpful for them.
You might recall early on, the first few years of the Obama administration, they had awards for employees who found efficiencies, and there were White House ceremonies for the winners of each year's contest. But in the end, nobody really came up with anything profound. It was, you know, a million here, a million there, nothing fundamental. Maybe my question is, how do you get that bridge from the little things everyone can think of, like put a tie line in from point A to point B, used to be for telephone systems, to something that's fundamentally changing how a agency operates, you know, within the constraints of federal missions?
You know, I have something in my most recent blog post about a three-box solution. And box two is selectively forgetting the past. That's where you break your ties to the past. And that's the area where I think government is most in need of doing things differently. The government frequently takes something, tweaks it a little bit, and then tweaks it some more. And then Congress passes something to change it a little bit more. And that happens over and over and over again over a period of decades. And you end up with something that might have been initially created 40 years ago for a need that no longer exists, and nobody really knows why the organization is there anymore because they've adopted some other mission. They need to be willing to stop doing things. They need to be willing to take some of these things back down to their foundation and build them again. You know, I'm working on something right now on the hiring process, and I'm going to be recommending taking the federal hiring process all the way back down to the merit system principles and building a simple hiring process on those principles rather than the Rube Goldberg contraption that we have right now. And I think that's incredibly important. They need to be willing to make very significant changes and stop doing a lot of the things that they're doing right now.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security, 33 years in government altogether. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. Delighted to be here.
We'll post a link to his blog into this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.